Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. If you spend much time on TikTok, I hope you don't spend too much, or YouTube, maybe you've seen what seems to be becoming a little more popular in recent years, or at least this year that I've noticed a little bit, is what might be called Christmas hate videos. People who just, for one reason or another, really don't like Christmas. That may seem rather strange to us. We're gathered here together today, of course, to give thanks to God for the gift of His Son, Jesus, our Savior. We believe in Him. We take great comfort and joy in the good news of the Savior and the forgiveness of sins that He came to bring for us. But perhaps we can understand maybe a little bit of the Christmas hate. Sometimes it's all the other stuff that comes along with Christmas that sometimes wears us out, sometimes causes frustration even. Or perhaps, as mentioned in the introduction to this, to the worship service this morning, perhaps sometimes there's kind of a nostalgia, a kind of sadness, a longing for what we've idealized as the memories of the wonderful Christmases of our past, perhaps of our youth as a young child, or perhaps as a parent with young children in the home, or younger relatives scampering about, and maybe those days are gone, and we long for those days to be back again, but we just can't seem to find them. Most of us, perhaps, have a dilemma as we face Christmas celebrations. We may conceal conflicting feelings that we have about the Christmas time and celebration. As Christians, of course, we love the holiday and all that it means, but perhaps also there's a part of us that dreads the holiday. On the outside, we may be smiling, but inside, perhaps something else or some other emotions are going on. Inside each of us, we can think about there is a little child that is within each of us that we keep hidden most of the time. After all, it's not good to be childlike in front of other adults. Most of us let others see that inner child within us only at special, safe times. And sometimes our inner child is happy when the first snow arrives, when we feel like running down the street in the rain, when we find ourselves laughing at nothing in particular. But sometimes that inner child within us is sad. Like other children, our inner child tells us the truth. And the truth that the child in us sees is that things now are not like they used to be. This time of year, our inner child is likely to be caught up in nostalgic longing for the times of warmth and of love and joy that we knew back when Christmas trees seemed so much taller than they do now, so much greener, when gifts were more wondrous and amazing and never came with strings attached, when giving gifts was as simple as the homemade tags that we stuck on them, when the snow always seemed to be 3 feet high and unspoiled, and the coming of Christmas morning was always an explosion of wonder and joy. At least part of the hold that Christmas has on us comes from that longing child in each of us. We still sit in wonder at the coming celebration and never stop hoping that this time it will all be like it used to be. This time, our childlike heart says to us, perhaps it will be as bright and as special and wonderful as it's supposed to be. Perhaps this time we'll recapture the treasure that Christmas was and feel warm and safe and whole again. Well, the passage that we just read from the book of the prophet Isaiah was addressed to God's people who lived with somewhat similar nostalgic longing and apparently futile hopes. They were exiled in a distant land, away from their roots, away from their home, their past glory as a nation, and their future. They must have found themselves weeping even during times of transitory joy in that distant place. The longing child within them would not let them forget what had been. To the world, they were rejected ones, abandoned ones, the rootless, the homeless. By all standards, their longing was in vain. No one could reverse what had happened. No one could undo the terror that had come on them because of their sin. No one could turn back the clock and give them again what they had once had. A place to belong, a name, a home, roots, and a right to claim their future. All they could do was weep in longing like a little lost child who cannot find its way home again. Something within us tells us just as surely that what we long for in Christmas is gone as well. No matter how sincere our wishful dreams, no matter how dedicated our longing for what has been, the past is gone and we cannot get it back again. No matter how careful our planning, how meticulous our decorating, how busy our preparing, we cannot recapture the joy and the peace, the happiness and contentment, the warmth and belonging that Christmas must have meant back then. Listen to the child in us. What is our heart saying? Can't I go back just one more time? Can't I return to the wonder of what used to be, to the warmth and the joy that once were there? Can't I go back to the simplicity and the security of that time when I was safe and loved and cared for? The note of sadness in every Christmas comes from the child within us that will not be stilled, that sheds a tear for what used to be, that longs and waits and wonders, and is never satisfied with the busy rush of activity that so often characterizes our Christmas seasons now. It's gone, and the child is weeping. Like the people of Israel in exile, we cannot get it back again. Well, imagine how the words of the prophet Isaiah must have sounded to a longing, lonely people, a people who called themselves desolate and deserted, a homeless, aimless, forsaken people. Listen to what the prophet says to them. Go through the gates of home. Prepare the way back for the people. Raise a banner like a victory sign in the midst of desolation for the peoples. See your Savior comes. See his reward is with him. You will be called the holy people instead of no people. You will be called the redeemed instead of deserted of the Lord. You will be called sought after instead of abandoned. The city no longer deserted. By human standards, what the prophet was saying was impossible. By human standards, there was no way that the past, the glorious past of the people of Israel, could be recaptured and that the people could go home again out of their exile. The past was gone. The warmth and comfort of their life in the safe city of Jerusalem had been destroyed. There was no way back, and they were left with their longing, except that God himself intervened. He worked his miraculous will. He set about to make right what had been destroyed, to restore what had been abolished, to remake the people who had fallen into hopelessness and fear. That is the nature of our loving God, our God who saves, our God who buys back the worthless and works impossible miracles, even for those who don't deserve it. Sometimes the manger scene, the nativity scene, becomes just another little decoration that helps to kindle our nostalgia at the Christmas season. It's one of those things that's able to warm our hearts a bit because the child in us sheds another tear of nostalgia. But the proclamation of that manger scene, the nativity scene, is as powerful and encompassing as the words of God's prophet Isaiah, and surely as impossibly true. Indeed, the inner child within us tells us the truth. By ourselves, we cannot overcome the passing of years or the sins and mistakes of the past. By ourselves, we cannot create the peace and joy that we so desperately long for. We have nothing in ourselves that can take even a bright and hopeful celebration like Christmas and cause it to do what we long for it to do, to remake us, to renew us, to secure us, to name us, to give us hope and peace and joy. On our own, we have no recourse but to do our best to warm the middle of winter with a busy celebration that slips too quickly through our fingers and leaves us still longing for what might be, for home that will never be ours again. But the words of the prophet and the gift of God's Son born in Bethlehem mark the coming of the Christ, the Messiah. Look here, they say to us. Here, the promise is fulfilled in an even more dramatic way. In the coming of the Christ child, all the promises of the Old Testament are fulfilled. In his coming, not just a city is rebuilt, not just a home reestablished, not just a hope renewed. No, in the coming of Christ, all things are redeemed, and we are recreated and eternally renewed. We are given not just a remembered home from the past, but the security of a home in the future. Not just hope for some better times to come, but the promise of forgiveness that gives us new life, now and for eternity with our Savior. In his coming, Jesus offers us nothing less than a life-changing event this Christmas, one that is secured by his life, death, and resurrection. Listen to what he has done and what he promises for us. He says to us, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me." And the angel proclaimed, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people." And Jesus himself says to us, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. And do not be afraid." Where else will we find what we long for? What else can this world offer that we truly need? Certainly not all the rushing and the busyness that so often characterizes the Christmas season in our world today, nor even the longing memories of our childhood or of ideal Christmas celebrations of the past. No, the peace and the joy and the belonging that we seek are found only in the gift beyond all gifts, the Redeemer who comes to take us home. Here in Jesus, our Savior, is new life. The lonely child within each of us is now his child. The emptiness that we sometimes wrestle with inside of us is filled by his presence. Look now, it's Christmas again. He is coming again. He comes to comfort the lost and lonely child within each of us, to bring hope and healing to the lonely, hurting little child who never feels at home in this world, to bring joy to the weeping child who can find joy in nothing that the world offers. Look, he is coming to you with his reward, your eternal salvation, and an eternal home with him in heaven. And so you can go home again. Amen.